coming. We have a special treat this morning. That's because I'm not preaching. That's your special treat, right? Yes. Woo! No Keith this morning. So Cedric Mungwabwa. I knew I was going to butcher it. Cedric's going to be preaching today. Cedric, I've known him actually longer than Riverside's been around, right? Cedric is one of the leaders at The Crossing in South Bend. He's one of our members of our church. His wife usually is up here singing with us sometimes. He has 3 kids now, growing young family. And Cedric, I've seen his love for students at The Crossing, and it's amazing. I mean, he loves people so well and so deeply and sacrificially. And also, I've seen his love for the Lord, his love for prayer, his love for Jesus, and it is contagious. And so I'm excited for him to be able to preach for us this morning. So Cedric, why don't you come on up here?
My name is Cedric, and as Keith has said, I said good morning. I think I had only 2 people who said good morning. I was just again, good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Let's have the energy in the building. First of all, to tell you about me, I have these 3 kids. Man, do we have fathers here? Oh, 2, 3. Okay. Oh, yeah, we do have fathers. Man, I love my kids. And as you know me, I'm an African, and my wife, she's American. So we are trying to raise these kids to become African-Americans. It is one of the hardest things to do because we don't have enough books to teach the kids how to become African and Americans. We just don't have enough of those books. So my wife is trying a lot to become like Americans. I'm like, no, honey, you cannot teach them to become like Americans. And then I'm trying to teach them to become like Africans, and my wife like, no, they can't be only like Africans. They have to be African-Americans. And I'm like, okay, this is a struggle. So if you know somebody who knows how to train kids to become African-American, please help me. Send them my way. So with this movie, Lion Kings, I know a lot of us, we have watched this movie, and some of us, we even caught some lines. We know the characters in there. I don't know how many times I've watched it myself because I have 3 kids. As a kid, I did not watch movie because I grew up without having any TV until probably I was like 18. And then at 18 years old, I received Christ, and then I went to missions, and then I watched TV. And and then after that, when I met my wife, and that is when I was introduced to Lion King. The way that I was introduced into this movie, I was working at Target, and then there was one guy. It's in the morning at Target. If you are doing the packing, I used to do those jobs. Like, let's pack when I came to America because no one could hire me. No one understands me anyway. So I would do those kind of jobs, right? We would pack in the morning. And then I hear this guy singing the song. And then he was singing something like this. I'm not a good singer, so you know. So I'm going to try this guy, right? He's singing. And then he says something like this. And I was like, what is that? And then he looked at me, he's like, duh. You should know this. You're from Africa, right? I was like, yeah. And I was like, this is a Lion King song. And I was like, oh, really? And then he says, yeah, the song was starting at the beginning and of the movie. I'm like, okay, I've never heard that song. Then I went home because in my mind I was blown up about this idea. I was like, okay, this Lion King song starts like blah, 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 something like that. And I went home and I asked my wife, honey, do you know the Lion King song that starts like da ba da da ba da, and then my wife was like, yeah. I was like, huh, I guess I'm the only one who doesn't know this song. And then I was like, yeah, they say something that I don't even understand what they're saying, and then that's why everybody just said it. And I was like, I am so wounded. You are my wife, you should know these things. And then my wife says, how does it go? And then I said, it goes like this. That's how the song goes. And then my wife was like, what? Is that a language? I'm like, yeah, it's a language. It's my language. Anyway, so this is my encounter with this movie. And then after I sit down and watch this movie. And right over here where there's Simba and these 2 guys who are watching the stars. And then obviously when we think about the cities, like, oh yeah, all of them, they're just like missed the mark. And then when we think about it, it's like maybe Pumbaa, he's right along those lines, right? But there's one guy that's really identified by myself. That is Simba. When Simba says, this look like the forefathers who have died long time ago. And then that literally captured my eyes. And I was like, oh my goodness, this movie is actually about us, the Africans. Because all the time I grew up in a house where I was told that the forefathers, the people who are dead, they are not actually dead. They are alive. And then when Simba saying they are up there, he is actually speaking the truth based off where he comes from. I was told when I questioned, because in my mind I did not understand this. We just buried my mom, went down into the grave, and then you are telling me that my mom right now is talking, would talk to me? And then my grandma says, yes. I'm like, grandma, tell me how this happened. And then my grandma says, don't question me. Then as a kid, obviously, you just have to believe. You don't have to question things. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to buy into this. How do Africans, after that, connect with these dead people? That was my biggest struggle. And then in my culture, I know if we have a lot of Africans over here, we have our different background. In my culture, we have people that we call them Sangomas. And then in English, try to translate that. I don't have a normal translations, but it's more close into the traditional healers. And then those people, they're supposed to connect you to your dead people. And then they listen to them. They tell you what you need to do. And then my mom happens that she becomes one of those Sangomas. It made it even harder for my family to even question the idea of Christ. Because my mom was a Sangoma. My mom would talk to the dead people. My mom would actually come and say, dead people today, they said, we need to slaughter cows. And I remember my uncle going extremely broke because he has to buy these 6 cows that he has to slaughter for the dead people. We will slaughter dead people, the cows for dead people, and hoping that they will eat. And they will have feast. Even today, in my home in Africa, they still sacrifice once per year for dead people. You know when Paul, just split this up, when Paul talk about, hey, eating the meat that is sacrificed into the dead people. And then sometimes in the Bible, it's like, wait, how do you eat something like that? When he said that, I'm like, absolutely, I know it. Because I was one of those people. Today, we are going to approach a scripture. The salvation of Zacchaeus, or the conversion of Zacchaeus. While we are doing this, I really want us to open up our heart. Because the whole scripture is talking about different things. But I really think there is something that is going on in the scripture that we really need to dig deep. While in my home, I can really point it out. I'm saying, we are struggling with this problem. But in Zacchaeus, the other side, it's almost like the struggle is not there yet. So let's read. Susan will read for us.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up to him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Dick Travis is going to pray for us.
Thanks, Father, for the opportunity we have to gather today and to study your word. And we pray now that you will speak mightily and supernaturally through Cedric as he opens your word before us, and that our hearts would be open and attuned to hear what you want to speak to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Guys, I really believe that if we are all gathered, somebody will come with a song. Somebody will come with a word, and some will come with a prayer. That is the idea of the followers of Christ, that God has called us into community. And that's why my mind will refuse to do everything as one person. And then I think God illustrates that very well, because we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then they're all working together equally. So now I think our kid has started us in a good note last week, and then introducing what Jericho was like. And then we already know, in my mind I'm laughing about this because of the yesterday's terrible score, but I'm sorry, Irish fans. But anyway, he explained what that was like, Jericho. Over here, Jesus, last week, he was drawing near Jericho. He did not yet reach Jericho. And then in this story, Jesus now has entered Jericho. And then still, Jesus is passing by because he's going to Jerusalem. We are told that we have a guy named Zacchaeus, and he's a tax collector. First, to give you a little bit of the background around here, because why Zacchaeus finds himself in collecting taxes. Because not only collect taxes for the Jews or for the Israelites, but he collects taxes for the Romans. So the Romans over here, they are ruling over the Israel people. And then while they're ruling, and then they have people, they want people to do their dirty job. In order to do that, it's easy to hire local people to do it. And then Zacchaeus became one of those people that he took the job. And then in my mind, I really think that Zacchaeus was so good in doing this job in the way that he became the chief tax collector. Now he's actually in charge of the people who are going around and collecting taxes. If we study the scripture very well, we know that people, they don't like tax collectors. And they grumble around tax collectors. They even take this issue and go to Jesus and say, Jesus, what do we do with these tax collectors? And Jesus don't want to enter into the political discussion. And then he asked him the question. He's like, wait. Whose head is in the call? And then they said, it's to Caesar. And then Jesus said, just give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And then people were not satisfied with that. So tax collectors, no one really likes them. Again, if I can use another illustration, it's like America is going into a war with Canada. I heard that laugh, right? We are going into the war with Canada, and then Canada just win the war, and then we have no idea how Canada wins, but they win, right? So when Canada are winning, and then after that, Canada just said, okay, we need to look into the American cities and see whom we can have collecting taxes for us. And then luckily, they came into South Bend, they find Pierre Buttigieg. Right? He's going to go around the town and then just collecting taxes. They went to Illinois, and then, never mind. Anyway, and so the tax collectors are busy going into people's houses. They are collecting taxes. And then Zacchaeus, he is the person who is in charge of the people who are collecting taxes. Now, in your mind, knowing that people will hate him, knowing that no one will want Zacchaeus, why would Zacchaeus take a job like this where you know for sure that no one will agree with you? Well, we need to look into this. One, Romans, they pay tax collectors a lot of money, so he was wealthy. And then the scripture says that Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. He didn't care about his own people, that he was oppressing them. He didn't care about that they were oppressed. So now, if you think about it, Zacchaeus, we are told, he's a tiny guy. He's a short of stature. And then thinking about it, growing up, going to school, as a Zacchaeus, knowing that people are always laughing at you because of your stature. And then for Zacchaeus, it is an easy way of saying, if I take the job, that I can make somebody's job be miserable 10 times than I was in high school, sign me up. That's what Zacchaeus in my mind, just thinking like, yeah, I am going to do that. And then guess what? I'm going to start with the bullies. Hey, bully, you need to pay taxes because that's what the Roman says. If the bully says no, and guess what? The Roman army will show on the door. And then Zacchaeus, behind him, he has a lot of power. So, before we continue, I like what Chris did 2 weeks ago, where he preached a powerful message about the idols. That whatever we're struggling to give will become our idols. And then Keith, after that, he laid out another way for us and help us to see the blind man who wanted to see Jesus. That he could not keep quiet, but he had to say something so that Jesus would get a response, so he can have a response from Jesus. And today, I just want us to see this man who is called a sinner, who identifies himself as a sinner, to experiencing grace of God. Experiencing God's grace. Because money, it is a struggle in our culture. Even today, we are still arguing about taxes. We still argue about healthcare. Hey, that's gonna raise a lot of taxes. The rich is going to become the rich. The poor is going to become the poor. We should not go to that way. I don't know if you have walked in South Bend. South Bend downtown, this is where I work. I have these amazing cities that God has put me in. I work one in a city of East Chicago, and then I work over here in South Bend. I travel every day back and forth. In South Bend, we struggle about homelessness. I jump the other side in East Chicago, we struggle about homelessness. And then East Chicago is next to Gary, and then I'm like, I travel to Gary so that I can talk to people to try to say, hey, you need to send your kids into my school. And guess what happens? You go to around Gary, it's like, wait, what happened? Did Iran just come over here? We didn't hear about that? CNN did not report that? Right. Poverty is everywhere. Those who are rich, they say, nope, it's my money. Frederick once said that the absence of God growing in our culture will replace God for money. It says the absence of God that is creeping in our culture will replace God for money. Today, folks, Africa is known as a Christian nation. Today, you go on Google, you Google it, it's going to say, hey, yeah, Africa is a Christian nation. But you go there, the struggle is real. My neighboring country, Zimbabwe, the president of Zimbabwe just said, hey, I want all the white folks to get out over here so I can control everything, all the farms, and guess what happened to the economy? My own president today, Jacob Zuma, people are complaining, not jobs. And then the only rich person in South Africa is my president. the absence of God. Growing in our culture is replacing God. Somehow when I read Timothy Keller talking about this, I really thought about my own kids. I asked myself, what am I doing to make sure that I am directing my kids towards God? Because folks, let me tell you, God has been replaced by our cell phones today. This is, even myself, I like to think that when I get up in the morning, the first thing is I want to go and have prayer. Because why? When you read in the book of Genesis, I take this in the literary sense, God did this. In my mind, I'm saying, okay, I wake up in the morning and say, God. So I'm going to wake up and go and pray. But the first thing that I do is like my hands just creep on its own. Where's my phone? Okay. Who emailed today? Why I have this so many updates? Facebook, who's doing what? Oh, right now, actually, Facebook did something so amazing. They put the marketplace. We buy things that we don't need. My wife told me, he almost mugged me the other day, and then when I woke up into my car, I'm like, honey, I need a new tires. And then my wife looked at me and was like, who are you? Because why? Facebook keep on throwing new tires. I'm like, oh, this tire's going to look bad in my car. These tires, hey, these ones are not bad. My wife is like, what did I marry into? Right? The absence of God growing in our culture, he's replacing God. These cell phones, we need to watch about it. We understand that Zacchaeus took this job simply because he loved money. And the love of money is greed. Zacchaeus struggled in his life because of greed. The biggest thing about greed is that no one will see when it's in your heart. But we can point out about any other thing, but if there's greed that is in your heart, it's going to be hard to point out and say, oh, yep, this is the problem. And then in order to go forward, we need to see what exactly is greed is. So according to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it describes greed like this. It says, a selfish or excessive desire for more of something, such as money, that is needed. I don't want to keep on bashing so much about America, but America is a perfect example of all my craziness. When I first moved into the United States, we live in Millbury, and then one thing that I could not understand, I went into the bedroom and I saw a TV. And then in the living room, I was like, there's a TV. In the kitchen, there's a TV. I'm like, wait, what's going on? Right? We like to consume stuff. And in America, it's actually the perfect for this. Like, I want this. Let me tell you what happened last week. I was sitting in my living room watching Colts playing. I can't remember when they're playing. And then Lowe's has this commercial, right? This is just going to come up and make you think your living room is very small. You need to move your cars out of the garage and make your garage as a gathering place. And then I look at us like, I am so doing it. And let me tell you, my life would be messed up if my wife was not in my life. Because again, I have to ask for permission from my wife. And then my wife is always quiet. If I say something that disagree with, she just look at me, I'm like, what did I marry into? I'm like, oh, okay. Then I know that is no. Whatever I want is not going to happen. Kid, can I have my water? Thank you, sir. Right? Because why? We're always going to try to consume more than what we can afford. More and more, more and more, more is good in our culture. So now, Jesus saw this as a big problem. Thank you. And he says, watch out. Be on guard against all kind of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. That is in Luke 12, verse 15. And in 1 Corinthians, it says, no thieves, no greedy, no drunkards, no slander, no swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Greed is a sin that consumes us and imprisons us. And we become the slave into sin. Paul just called greed as a form of idolatry. And then this is what he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs into your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. While I can go in Africa and say, Grandma, you are struggling because you are worshiping dead people. Switching back into America, that is hard to say that because we will say, no, we don't worship God, dead people. We have our own idols that are hidden in our families. There are somewhere the things that we feel like we don't want to live without. Last month, my phone broke. And then I call Samsung and say, hey, this thing that you gave me is broken. And then Samsung says, oh, yeah, we will fix it. You have insurance? I said, yes. Just send it in for 11 days, and then after that, you can have it back. Guess what I said? No. 11 days without a phone, how can I survive? And then I feel so ashamed of myself. I'm like, oh, my goodness. My life evolves around this thing. My job is evolved around this thing. This thing has become my idol. Because I am having a hard time and get rid of it. According to the Bible, this is what idolaters do. Tim Kelly laid it up this. And then he says, because of the idols, it's going to do three things in our life. We're going to love them. We will think the ways of making money. No matter how much money we will have, we will want to make more. Keep on making more. We're going to trust in this money thing. We would like to be in control of our life and feel more secure because of money. We will obey our idols. Our hearts will be driven to do whatever it takes to make money. Friend, look at Zacchaeus. Whatever it takes, including oppressing your own. Jesus said, there's no way we can worship two people. He says, there's no servant can save two masters. Either you hate one and love another, or you will be devoted to the one or despise the other. You cannot save both God and money. Our personal relationship with God will be challenged because we won't serve him anymore. We'll be driven by money. We'll be driven by our idols. And the idols, they come in our life like a thief because it's so easy. We will come here on Sunday mornings. We will participate in church. Participate. Oh, yeah, singing song. Oh, my. We can do that all day. Listen to somebody preach. Absolutely, I can do that. For how long? 30 minutes. That's my max. That's it. We cannot serve God and our idols. We cannot serve God and money. Chris mentioned this 2 weeks ago. When a rich young ruler came to Christ, and Christ says, hey, you need to give up your riches, and then you can follow me. And then the rich ruler could not do that. Because he has so much money. He says, there's no way I'm going to do this. I would rather worship the other side than this side. Our hearts are being pulled away. The same thing when the lawyer came to test Christ about, hey, what do you think about what is the greatest commandment in the law? And then Jesus says, hey, this is what you need to do. You shall love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbors as yourself. Because it is impossible to serve two things. It is impossible. While in our struggle of sin, the good news is that God is not just watching us and looking at us and being smacked back and forth by our sinful desire. God always shows up. In our craziness, God shows up. In our fear, God shows up. In our idols, God shows up. In our marriage, God shows up. Now it's up to us. If we want to join in with God, or we say, no. When we look exactly into the story of Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus knew that Jesus was going to pass by. And Zacchaeus knew the struggle that he has with his idols. He knew, he would look around, he says, these are the people that I wrong every day. And then Zacchaeus, he knew he was a sinner. He knew that he can point it out on himself and say, this is my struggle. If I don't go and see Jesus, I am going to struggle for this for a long time. And then he heard that Jesus was passing by. And then this is what he did. He says, I don't care if I'm rich or what is going on. I'm going to go and find Jesus. And he started running. When he runs, he says, there's a crowd around him. The crowd could not let Zacchaeus to see Jesus because he was a short man. The crowd is always around us. Keep on saying, look at you. Look at what you are doing. The people around us, those are mainly our enemies. Because they're telling you, your house is not big enough. Your car is not good enough. You need a bigger car so that you can have all your family. Even myself, I have to tell my family, says, I really don't need you right now. This is sad, but to be honest with you, I haven't spoken to my family for like a year now. And I'm okay with that. For a year in Africa. Because the question that's going to come, your ancestors, you should not forget about them. The crowd always says something wrong in your life. This is what you need. Zacchaeus saw the crowd around him, and then he says, this is what I need to do. And he walked around the crowd so that he can climb in the tree. And then he found the tree that was there, and then he climbed on it so that he can see Jesus. Kid preached last week about the blind man. Blind man could not see anything, but because he had Jesus was passing by, he could not be blind anymore. And then he says, I am going to yell. And the crowd told him, you better stop. And then he says, I'm going to yell even louder. Amen. If somebody going to hear me, if I can get Jesus' attention, I am going to yell. And then he starts yelling. He says, Jesus. And then people say, stop. People, they told him, you need to stop. And then he says, I've been blind for a long time. We are struggling for a very long time. When are we going to see that we need Jesus? In our marriages, we need Jesus. In our kids, we need Jesus. In the school that I am teaching, we need Jesus. I said this laughingly, jokingly earlier. I don't know how to raise my kids. I need Jesus in my kids. Every day, I need Jesus to tell me, Cedric, this is how you need to do this. And then I look at the people's kids that goes to church, that today are becoming pastors. I'm like, how did you do it? And then normally the family would say, it was our knees. praying for our kids every night, calling them by name and saying they need Jesus. They need Jesus. Even sometimes kids, they go away, but they need Jesus. We are not going to stop. Zacchaeus could not say, you know what? The crowd is too much. So many people, not at football. So many people try to go and see Jesus walking in Notre Dame. Here today, say, hey, Jesus is going to watch Notre Dame football. Try to see if the gods will let you go and see Jesus. Because we are so smart today, probably we're going to call our friends and say, hey, you have a helicopter? Can you take me to Notre Dame Stadium so I can see Jesus? Right? Zacchaeus is on the tree. While Zacchaeus is on the tree, and then Jesus looked at him, and then he says, Zacchaeus, today it's the day. I better come and lay my head at your house. This is very important to understand. Jesus is always around us. Jesus is always, we can always call up to him. And he's here. If two or three are gathered in his name, he's here. Jesus is here today. We are more than two or three right now. Jesus is here. Now, Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, you better come down. And then Zacchaeus' response out of that, he get out of the tree, and then he come and have meet with Jesus face to face. Zacchaeus and Jesus there face to face this time. And Zacchaeus again starting to see even more, I have wrong people. When Jesus noticed Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus noticed Jesus, and Zacchaeus says, Jesus, I really need to give 50% of my income to all those who are poor. Not only that, he says, also I want to give back 300% the money that I have stolen to people. Jesus did not say, hey, check this out. This is the problem here. No. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I just want to spend time with you. And then Zacchaeus looks at his life and then he says, there is something wrong with me. And the problem starts going out of Zacchaeus' life. And then Jesus responds and then he says, salvation has come in the household. Man, if you are here today, Zacchaeus was a man. That is always kind of hit me hard. Zacchaeus was a man. The family salvation could not come because of Zacchaeus. Sometimes our grumpiness in our households stop our families to experience God in our families. Because we think we walk around and say we are men. Our families, that blocked the way for the family to see God. Today, this week, I just received an invite. Hey, you want to come into our family's gathering for Thanksgiving? That is probably one of my hardest times to go and sit around my in-laws. I love them, and God is helping me to love them. But this is the hardest time, and then I saw the message on Facebook. I was like, oh no, the time has come. I remember probably in my first year of marriage, that was the hardest thing. to tell my wife, says, I am not going to go to Thanksgiving. My wife looked at me and said, yes, we are. And then I said, no. And then I went and called my mentor and said, hey, are we going to Juvenile Justice Center to go and preach it to the kids on the Thanksgiving Day? And then my mentor says, no, you have to spend time with your family. And then I said, what about the kids, though? What about the kids? I came up with a good reason. And then my mentor says, you better go, Cedric. He knew my struggle with my family. Man, we need to introduce Jesus into our family. We need to carry that. Our family needs that. The salvation comes to Zacchaeus' lives and his family. It's not because Zacchaeus, he look at him and then he says, I am rich. I'm going to buy salvation. He look at his life and then he says, I am struggling personally and I need Jesus. And then that was a desperation. That was him desiring Jesus and saying, I need to go and meet this guy. When he experienced God's grace, he gave up all his idols. He was free. And then we are told salvation came to his family. And Jesus, after that, he gives up his mission statement. And he says, the Son of Man has come to save the lost. Friend, we have people around us who are struggling. Jesus came to save them. It is up to us. If we said yes to Jesus, if we say yes to God, we want to be your family. It is our job to go around and be what Christ, and be what Christ has called us to be in those people. We need to introduce those people to God. It is our job. Jesus came to save the lost. Jesus came to save the lost. We're going to go to our families. Thanksgiving has come. Christmas is coming. Our family is lost. My in-laws are lost. Instead of me running away, I have to go and find them and introduce them to Jesus. Then it's up to them if they say yes or no. But my job is not to run away. We have set the things around us that takes people away. Our idols, we are worshiping them than worshiping Jesus. When people look in our life, they were like, ooh, what is this? Because the idols have taken places. It's time to be free from this. I don't know about you. For me, these are the steps that I told myself that I'm going to do. I know my family back in Africa. They were not introduce me back into the ancestors. It is an ongoing struggle. Since I said yes to Christ, it's been an ongoing struggle. When I said yes to Christ, I came home. I said, Grandma, I understand about the dead people. I understand that my mom, she's dead now, and then I need to respond to her in a different way. And I said, Grandma, I just cannot do that. And Grandma's like, why? Says, I've been introduced to Jesus, and I love this guy. I really want to know more about Jesus. And then my uncle was sitting next to my grandma, and then he says, you have no place in our family. And then I get up, I said, Grandma, I love you. I will see you next time. I left because I need to find Jesus. Even today, that is still my struggles. Sometimes I have to call people that I trust and say, you need to pray with me in this area. It's my struggles. I dream dreams. sucked in into worshiping the idols. It's a struggle. I make up my mind. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do every morning. A lot of people have talked about this prayer closet. And then I said, this is what I'm going to make in my house. I'm just going to be my place where I'm going to go in and cry. And ask God, says, God, I need you every single day. Before I go and see people, I'm like, this is my place where I'm going to go. Before I go to bed at night, this is my place where I'm going to go. Because I know the struggle is real. I don't know about you, folks. Maybe some of you just like to get up in the morning and go and sit down in your couch. But 15 minutes, 30 minutes, spend time with Jesus so we can be free. So we can be free. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for what you are doing in our city. Thank you for what you are doing in our life. Thank you for the grace of God that came and rescued us from our madness, from our idols. I thank you that, God, you are God who frees us. You are God who releases us from our sin. Lord, I pray right now this morning that, Lord, you help us. Help us to find you, God. Help us, Jesus. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.